The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, producer number nine. So much more than a producer.
Hello.
How you doing, man? You okay? Back and forth out of the studio again?
Yeah, man. Yeah. Checking out some of the slot machine action out there.
Were you guys monitoring? So there's some woman who's sitting
there. There's a machine out right outside our studio that I don't know how many times Danny and I have been like working after the show, and it's just like jackpot, jackpot, jackpot. So it's always a little curious to me when it's this early in the morning and there is plenty of machines open and someone goes to sit right at that one. But she moved.
All right. I'm totally not distracted by a tennis match on the right side of the screen here. We get tweets, beating the book, Shooter McGamblin, giving up an arm for $1 billion is a no for me. A foot, though, I think I would do. That might make less sense to me.
I was going to say, I would go foot arm over foot any day. And again, left arm, big time discount on the versus the right arm.
Nick at Real Knicks. This has nothing to do with anything, but do you remember when Steve Austin had to rescue a kidnapped Larry Zonka to get him to the game on time? As a 9-year-old who became a Dolph fan, because Zonka was my favorite player, it was TV gold. I do remember Larry Zonka being on the $6 million man. I, however, did not remember the plot as carefully and as clearly as you did. Very nicely done. Rhodes knows. Great. Heard about your plus 850 on Matt Olson. Had to do something quick. Check back at DraftKings. It's now plus 650. I just slammed the table, hurt my arm. Another reason I'm not taking the buyout on the arm. Well threaded together. It was like a Seinfeld episode, the way you weaved it all together.
That was impressive.
Lago Tech. Random thought about Vrabel Russini. Have we heard anything about her NFL award vote? She's been a voter since 2022. Not sure it would have made an impact, but seems like quite the conflict of interest. Cheers, guys. We've brought this up before. That's the tie-in to what we do, right?
It's part of the story I care the most about.
Yeah, it's Jason Weingarten did a wonderful job about, you know, talking about this. I don't know if wonderful is the right word, but he certainly seized on it on Twitter that, you know, yeah. It, to me, it's beyond the vote, though. The better point was when he was the coach, when Vrabel was the coach of the Titans, there's evidence of Russini talking about how the Falcons, for compensation for Julio Jones, wanted this outlandish amount of stuff. And if you report that, the net effect could be to chase other teams away. Oh, they want that for Julio Jones? We're not interested anymore. And then, oh, all of a sudden he lands with the Tennessee Titans, which is exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. Those are the kinds of real life, even beyond the awards votes, which is the currency that we deal in. But yeah, those things are significant, not just the salacious part of stuff.
No, absolutely. I'm just kind of over here chuckling a little bit because of past lives and careers, right? You care way more about that. Is absolutely the biggest part of the story. Journalistic integrity of the league that's in jeopardy because of those things. But yeah, it's what do I care most about now? Influence on Coach of the Year voting
for sure. Vegas Vice Boomers has Olsen at 15-1 to win NL MVP. If Ohtani gets injured, Olsen becomes the favorite. Boomers, 15-1. There you go, Joe Asher. There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go country.
Boomers.
Let's go country club and let's do it. Oh, yeah. Ben Wilson's family enjoying themselves. DJ in the left corner, bottom left. Glow sticks behind the glass. Let's go.
Brown tell us last week $200. Is that what it was?
$200. I asked. I openly asked. I was like, "Hey,
am I low or high? Is that what the number was?
What do you think those actors get paid for a gig like that? The one that we show on the country club screen." And Matt Brown, of course, who owns a production company with his buddy Dave Ferrer, he has the answer to that question. He said $200 a day.
Is that what he said, or am I making that up?
No, that's what you told us.
Okay,
unless you lied then.
No. Whatever I told you then was what he told me. I knew him around the number, but I couldn't remember exactly.
If your initial comment was a lie, then yes, it's a lie.
Because I think my guess was $100, but yeah.
It's a long day to be staying. You know how long a shoot like that takes? Forever. All right, now do it.
Oh, it's the... No, 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 no. Way. It's the... Well, yes, you're probably right, but it's the... It's you and I have to record promos during commercial breaks. People don't get to see all the time. Gil Alexander is very, very good at them, and he can do them in one take. And then there's people like me that could sit here for 47 minutes and struggling to read.
It's really a joy to observe.
Yeah, exactly. So like it's different. You never know. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it's one take, two takes. Boom, we're good. Let's all get out of here and go grab lunch. And yeah, maybe they're there for 40 or they're there for like 5 hours.
Tennis update for our tennis plays. Again, for subscribers, these are available in the overnight, VSiN.com/picks. I had 4, 2 on the men's side, 2 on the ladies' side. 2 on the men's side were dogs. 2 on the ladies' side were favorites. On the overnight, Vit Kopreva won as a +137 dog straight set winner in his match over Fabian Marozan. We had Munar start just before the show. He is down a set but up a break in set number 2. So we're trying to grind that to a third set. Teresa Valentova started right after we got on the air. Hopefully you got in on that. She is up a set, and they are on serve in the second set in that one. And still to start, still has not begun, Yulia Starodubtseva, -137 versus Simona Walter. I should probably check on that Starodubtseva price just to make sure you can still play it. I'm just sort of assuming it's around there. I shouldn't do that. You know what they say about assuming, Kelly. Let's see what that price is. Efforting. Boop, 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 boop. Price on Starodubtseva currently is as we grind, she is -141. So still playable. It's about 4 cents worse. Don't let it get above -145. That would be my parameter on that. How about some golf? The Truist.
Yeah, man, the Truist back at Quail Hollow. Actually, that is the most important thing to start with, Gil, is if you are running stats and data like I am for golf tournaments every week, mm-hmm. The Truist Championship was not played at Quail Hollow last year because Quail Hollow hosted the PGA Championship. So when I first started digging into things this week, I was like, this isn't really checking out. I'm like, oh, yeah, because I'm at the long golf course. That's why. So make sure when you're scouting this week and handicapping, you're looking at the right golf course. So Quail Hollow, I'll start there. Look, it is a major level golf course. This is one of those courses that we talk about where every club in the bag is going to be tested. It is not easy on the greens. It's not easy around the greens. But guess what? That's the easiest part of this golf course because it is extremely long, par 71, over 7,500 yards. Fairway width, 33 yards, fairly forgiving fairways. You need to be long off the tee here, at least in my opinion. That's what we have seen work in the past. You are going to see a lot of bunkers scattered along the fairways and just off the fairway right about that 300-yard mark. Guess what? It's a lot easier if you can just hit over those things. So I'm looking at bombers this week. It's actually pretty fairly similar handicap to last week at the Cadillac. Do have some forgiving rough, but then these very, very long approaches that you're going to have into most of these holes. When you're talking about par fours, par fives, one of the longest groups that you are going to find on the PGA Tour. It is the third longest course on the PGA Tour this season. Historically, it's played about a three-quarters of a stroke over par per round. There are very, very few scoring opportunities here. The par fives are not super easy. There are only 3 of them this week, but it is where you need to get the scoring done at. Rory McIlroy, your champion last year. He has won here multiple times.
Yes, he has.
Wow. 4 times in total. That is 30% of his career wins have come here. And I'm going to get to that.
Are you for real?
I'm sorry to God. I'm going to get to that in a sec because this is how I kind of played this week. If you're doing your own handicapping, though, at home, I think it's distance off the tee and long iron play are extremely, extremely important this week. Again, pretty similar to what we saw and what we talked about last week. Over half of your approach shots are going to come for about 175 yards out. So you got to be good with the long irons. Helps if you're long off the tee. So let's start top of the board. Rory McIlroy, he's won here multiple times in his career. 30% of his career wins coming at this golf course, okay? He is your favorite with no Scottie Scheffler in the field, 6-1. Cameron Young, been on an absolute tear. Last time we saw Rory McIlroy was where, Gil? The Masters, he won. Cameron Young, we saw last week, he won. The last time we saw Matt Fitzpatrick, he won. There are 3 guys that are coming into this tournament off of wins. And then there's Xander Schauffele and Ludvig Åberg, who are very, very good golfers and fit this golf course very well. This is a very, in my opinion, a very tough event to handicap outright of who's going to win. So I did something this week that I very, very rarely do. You will often see the winner without Scottie Scheffler market when he is in the field. This week, multiple books gave us the winner without Rory McIlroy, Cameron Young, Xander Schauffele, and Matt Fitzpatrick market. Now, if you want to go and take some guys at longer outright prices, blend them with some top fives, top tens, that's fine. I'm taking the easy way out this week and just betting all of my guys into that market, winner without all four of them. Data Golf has those four winning at about 32% of the time. I actually think it's even higher than that. I think it's a very good chance the winner comes from one of those four. Ludwig, I do think, is live this week, but he does not have the win equity that these other guys have. And then if you see the names, if you're watching at home, Sam Burns, Chris Goddard, Kurt Kitayama, Gary Woodland, who I'm on this week, what they all kind of have in common is we have seen all of these guys win golf tournaments before, and we have seen all of these guys go ice cold. You could just look at Gary Woodland last week if you're watching the Cadillac Championship. He was near the top of the leaderboard through about 2.5 rounds, and then his irons completely fell apart on the weekend. He plummeted down the leaderboard. We see that with Kurt Kitayama. You and I talked about him just on Monday.
Yes, we did.
With just the boomer bust, with how good of a ball striker he is, and then so bad around the greens. The putter's been good for him recently. Chris Goddard, you've seen me bet many times this year, long off the tee. And then Sam Burns, who I do really like this week, actually. I played a top 20 on him as well. I think his game's really rounding into form. A under-the-radar long driver. He's gained on approach in four straight events. The putter is always great. He's one of, if not the best putters on the PGA Tour. Struggling a little bit around the greens, but I'm not too worried about that. And then Adam Scott, he has been he's been on fire here recently, really played well last week, and I'm going to play a top 20 on him at even money. And then Hideki Matsuyama, one tournament matchup so far, might be adding more at VSiN.com later today, but Hideki over Maverick McNeely at minus one.
When Max Homa and James Hahn won this tournament in the last handful of years, they were 500-1, each of them pre-flop.
Long odds.
Big hitters. We even offer 500-1 on anybody anymore? That'd be good.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Smarter bets start here and last all year long with VSiN Pro. For a limited time, get our annual subscription, normally $240, for just $199. And when you sign up today, we'll throw in 2 extra months for free. That's 14 months of VSiN Pro for less than 50 cents a day with promo code PRO. Get access to our daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, real-time DraftKings and Circa betting splits, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, 24/7 video and full show replays on the VSiN Watch app, plus all our special edition betting guides for every major sport throughout the year. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe and use promo code PRO. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. A melancholy tribute and rest in peace to Ted Turner.
Yes.
Ted Turner passing away at the age of 87. The sports tie-in, Ted Turner was the owner of the Atlanta Braves for 20 years, from 1976 to 1996, even managed a game for the Braves, I believe, in 1977, I want to say, but don't hold me to that year. But he was the owner when they won the World Series, sold them the next year, won the World Series in 95. He bought the Braves to provide content to his TBS superstation. So that was kind of like, and that's why, by the way, Atlanta with the superstation, there was a period of time in this country where they were kind of America's team, if you will, because a huge swath of the country was able to watch every single Atlanta Braves baseball game. But of course, he's known for, he was a super risk-taking businessman. He loved to sail. I want to say there was an America's Cup tie-in. Of course, what he's most known for is the absolutely insane idea, or was thought of to be insane, to do 24-hour news. Mm-hmm. Like, we take this for granted today, that there are stations that run news for 24 hours. Well, before Ted Turner founded CNN, this was not the case. And when he conceived of the idea, people were like, are you insane? And Ted Turner was like, no, they'll love it. And sure enough, they did. Ted Turner passing away at the age of 87, a true, true pioneer. This gentleman, be a true pioneer as well one day, if not already. Will Hill joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at NotTheWillHill. Two E's on the the. Will, it feels like you haven't been on this show in a month. Why does it feel that way to me?
I don't know, but I'm glad to be on, glad to be back. And it's funny, Ted Turner hired John Sterling, who just passed away Monday morning, who was, before he was with the Yankees, did a lot of years with the Braves, with the Hawks. So it's just, you know, it's funny how those things kind of happen within a couple of days. Not funny, but just interesting. And yeah, you mentioned TBS. That was a day I remember, like growing up, that was a day and age where not every game was on every station and you couldn't watch every team. You just watched the local teams, and the Braves were just, you wanted to watch a random baseball game. I think of, you know, for whatever reason, Jeff Blauser, the old Braves shortstop, pops into my head, where those great Braves teams were on pretty frequently, where it was just, it wasn't always easy to find a baseball game if you wanted to just, you know, sit down and watch a game.
Jeff Blauser. You still doing the Immaculate Grid, Will? You still doing that every day? Or have you backed off on
it? I haven't been doing it every day. I've been, you guys don't do it. You and Bear don't do it. So I feel like I'm doing it on my own. So I don't, you know, part of the thrill is just sending you the scores and just showing off and how good I am.
Yeah, that's what it
is. If you guys aren't going to play along, then it's there's that, just nobody. It's not as fun.
It's not that me and Felica don't play it. It's that we don't ooh and ah every time Will gets this unbelievably low rarity score.
We'll be better friends to Will, okay?
Yeah.
Will wants to show that off.
He's
okay?
So good at it. Him and Spore, who's coming up later, or it's just he's so good at it because you have this early 2000s knowledge that's just unbelievable. I'm like going back to like baseball cards when I was a kid. Doesn't work out as well.
Yeah, and it's it's funny. I do think it's probably good for your brain too, and people say it's
always definitely.
I agree. Time. I think it's good for your brain because I notice when I don't do it for a while, I'm not as good at it. So I do think it's good to kind of, you know, keep your brain fresh.
I love it. Okay, let's get to some baseball plays today. Let's start with the A's and Phillies. Phillies looking good all of a sudden. They're -172 favorites. Citizens Bank Park tonight against the Athletics, who are not been as good as I would have thought they would be here in the early going of the season. I had big plans for the A's, but that hasn't worked out so far. How are you playing this?
Yeah, and you could say that about a lot of teams in the American League. We're outside of the Yankees. All of these teams are just bunched around 500, and they haven't made a move, but hey, everything is right in front of them. I like the under first 5, 4.5. Wheeler, who was kind of shaky in his rehab starts in the minors, wasn't throwing that hard. He's gotten to the majors, and he started to look like Zach Wheeler, who's, you know, one of the elite pitchers in all of the game. And Springs has actually been really good for the A's here. And you always have to worry about, you know, him pitching in that ballpark, but this game is on the road, even though, you know, Philly is no pitcher's paradise either. But to me, that under 4.5 is a key number where each team could score multiple runs. Each pitcher can give up multiple runs. It's 2-2 after 5. You still win that one. Like I said, Springs has not been hit hard. The expecting batting average is in the low 200s, right at 201, 90th percentile. So he's done a good job of limiting hard contact, despite the fact he doesn't throw very hard. So to me, under 4.5 here in the first 5 is the play.
All right, Twins Nationals, you are not required to watch this baseball game, even though you have a wager on it. What is your bet on this?
Yeah, the great one, Todd Wishnev, coming up here. I have a feeling the great one is going to find a way to bet the over here, and I'm gonna jump ahead of him. I'm going to take the over 9.5. Miles Michaelis is a total bet against pitcher. 4 walks per 9 innings about, 3 homers per 9 innings about. I mean, he is really, that's a bad combination. When you're walking guys and you're not keeping the ball in the ballpark, that's not a good combo. And Bailey Ober is going for Minnesota, and his numbers have actually been really good, but I don't know how sustainable it is. Throwing an 88-mile-an-hour fastball, first percentile in all of baseball. So to me, you're going to have a lot of runs here, especially as the weather gets warmer here. That 88-mile-an-hour fastball, which he likes to throw a lot, that's going to be harder and harder to keep in the ballpark. 2 really bad bullpens, so I will go with the full game over here. 2 of the 7 or 8 worst bullpen ERAs. So over 9.5, I do think is playable. Nats have been a good over team, and I just think there's a lot of ingredients here to lead to an over. And it's interesting with Bailey Ober, Gilly. And I don't know if you remember, I'm sure you do, Chris Young, the giant pitcher back years ago Rangers and the Padres. Mm-hmm. Sometimes these guys that are tall, and Ober 6'9", that don't throw hard, there's a deception element, because you look at a guy on the mound, 6'9", 6'10", which Chris Young was, you expect them to be throwing that ball 98, 99 miles an hour, and it only comes in 88. There's a deception that I think plays in their favor, but I don't think it's sustainable here with his lack of stuff, lack of velocity, and to pitch to the numbers he's been pitching to.
Few things. Nationals, quintessential over team, right? Good, reliable offense, sneaky good, but terrible pitching. Bailey Ober. Spore loved Bailey Ober before last year. I'm not sure how he feels about him now. And the Chris Young thing, man, as soon as you say Chris Young, a smile comes to my face because I can't remember if it was 2012 or 2014. I want to say 2012, but don't hold me to that. I just remember really great years for me baseball betting-wise. Chris Young was always mispriced. It was always a dog number on him, and he would always come through. Like, they'd play, pitch him for, like, five innings, five and a third, five and two-thirds, and he would always come through for me. So I have great memories of Chris Young, who's now the GM of the Rangers, is he not? Or is he not? Yeah.
Okay. I believe so, yeah.
Okay, let's talk AL Cy. Yesterday this came up on the show because of the Tarek Skubal impending surgery and injury. How long is he going to be out with the loose fragments in the elbow? And I talked about Schlittler at the top at plus 230, how those numbers pretty much check out as somewhat sustainable, if not completely sustainable. Jose Soriano on the other end, I was like, that ain't sustainable with that strand rate, which was 95.5%. Yep. Never seen anything like it. You've got a bet in this market. Who do you like?
I like DeGrom, and he got roughed up a little bit last night. I bet him yesterday at 13-1. He got roughed up, so now he's at like 18-1, which, look, one start of giving up four or five runs, not the end of the world. I just think DeGrom is the best combination of just bang for your buck and like realistic chance to win. I looked at some of the guys like Emerson Hancock. I know people have made a case for. I just don't know. Pitching 90 innings last year, he's going to pitch enough this year. Will Warren's been good. Is he going to really win Cy Young? Probably not. To me, and I don't want to take Schlittler at 2-1 or Fried at 3-1. Just too many guys that can win and too much runway left in the season, as you like to say. To me, DeGrom at 18-1, I know he doesn't have the video game numbers and video game stuff that he had those years with the Mets where it seemed like, you know, speaking of baseball of yesteryear, seemed like every game he was either winning 1-0 or losing 1-0, and he couldn't get any run support, but he was so dominant, just striking out everybody. He's not quite that, but he's still 90% of that. You look at the strikeout to walk ratio, the ERA, all of the stats are still really good, bordering on elite. And I think at 18-1, obviously you have to worry about durability, but since he got the surgery with the Rangers in 23, you know, he's been healthy the end of 24, 25, and so far into this year. So I just think that the combination of bang for your buck and realistic possibility that he could win it, I think DeGrom is a good bet at now 18-1. Shop around, you might be able to find a little bit better. And maybe there is a sentimental element to DeGrom where, you know what, this guy's been through so much with his injuries, the trials and tribulations. If he has that kind of year where he's in the mix, maybe there's a sentimental feeling to voting for DeGrom. But I like that number at 18-1.
Since we're going back down memory lane, or at least I did with Chris Young, back half of 2014, before people knew DeGrom was DeGrom, and he was mispriced every single outing as a rookie, just new on the scene. It was such an ATM. He was such an ATM machine in 2014.
And he could hit a little too.
Oh, so great. Garrett Crochet is at 50-1. And obviously the preseason co-favorite with Skubal. Any interest at all at 50-1 now that he's drifted?
No, just because he hasn't been good and he's been hurt. I just, man, these other sports, these guys get hurt and they can be back in a couple games. Pitchers, they tend to just stay hurt. I get it. 50-1 if you're taking a shot. I wouldn't say it's like the worst bet ever, but not enough for me. It doesn't really interest me.
All right. National Basketball Association. Will's kind enough. He's going to hang out for a second segment. NBA with Will on the other side, including a requiem for his Orlando Magic tickets. We'll talk about that. Sorry about that, Will. On the other side, it's a numbers game at Visa and the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a numbers game live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Majestic downtown Las Vegas. I mean, it is glorious. Can I use those words to describe?
It is, absolutely.
Skill Alexander, that's Kelly Bidlin. Teresa Valentova, I believe is how you pronounce it, is a winner. Straight set win over Yulia Putintseva. So 2-0 to start the tennis day. And Jaume Munar has evened it up against Matteo Arnaldi, a set apiece. So we go to a third and deciding set in what looks to be a bit of a rainy Rome as they put on the ponchos.
Oh, I caught that when we were first welcoming in.
Yeah.
Will. Yeah, the ponchos are on.
Uh-oh. So I don't know if we're going to continue here much longer, but that's what's going on right there.
Who's the best mutter?
Staro Dubtseva. Yet to start. We get tweets beating the book. Rich PSM. When you don't know, you don't know. When you don't know, you don't sure. Well, that's a lot of words.
Don't even try.
Yeah, I don't even know.
Don't even
this
try.
Is predicting Cameron Young last week. 100% maple syrup wins 1,000%. Been there three times in the last 5 years from 3,000 miles away. Their ice cream tastes better, too. I don't know why I read that tweet.
I'm gonna go the opposite Kevin Hart quote here and be like, I don't really know what you're trying to say to me, so I'm going to take it as a compliment. Thanks, Rich.
I owe you. S69. In 1973, we created the $6 million man. In today's dollars, it's roughly $45 million. Where's the $955 million markup coming from? I think he means percent. Is that what he's talking about?
Yeah, man.
Where is Fezzik with his math to explain this? Well, you have to understand percentages first. That would be my first.
This is why I'm saying I need a lot of money if I'm sacrificing an arm, okay?
Primetime Leon Sanders, yo. Hey, man. References to $6 million man and Uncle Leo in same segment. Hello. I'm appalled, however, by your boobs take, however. I like boobs a lot, he says. And never forget, yoga pants, peace and love. I was calling people boobs. I wasn't, good God, people. And by you people, I mean. Steve Brosek, 1870, shout out Jay Kahn. Yes, shame on us. Shout out Jay Kahn, who yesterday went 3-0 with his hockey plays.
There we go, Jake. Here we go.
Brosek, you parlayed them? Yeah, he did. He parlayed them. Can't stop people from parlaying picks. He did it. Good on you. At least for yesterday. Not good on you in general. Chris Heath, if it wasn't Fox Baseball Saturday, it was baseball on TBS or WGN. Braves and the Cubs and the Chi Sox. That's
yeah,
right.
WGN too, yeah.
That's right. WGN. That's the old Will Ferrell thing. We said when he was a young, struggling actor, all he would do was watch Cubs games because it was the only thing that was familiar to him in Los Angeles, and that's how his Harry Carey imitation blossomed. Mike Montesano jumped on Matt Olson for an NL MVP, 12-1 and 10-1. Montesano's on board.
Boom.
And A. Rell about Will's play in Nationals Park tonight. He said rain and under 70 degrees in Navy Yard tonight. Twins Nats. So we'll see if they're able to play some baseball. And it looks like they're not gonna play tennis right now. Is that the story? Or are they gonna try? They're gonna try to motor through it. The rain. Will Hill joins us once again. Let's talk some hoops with Will. By the way, the name of the podcast that Will is the host of is the Shoulda Bet More podcast. Will, who's your latest guest?
Sammy P of Fox Sports had JVT on Monday doing a little NBA. So the guests have been good. I had the Bear, Chris Felica on last week, Fox Sports. Chris Massaro, who was actually one of the few people who mentioned Golden Tempo in the Derby. So it's been a good run of guests here.
There you go. You can scan the QR code for more. If you want to subscribe to Will's podcast, Shoulda Bet More, right there on the screen, under his chin, under his unshaven chin. All right, Will, before we get into these games tonight and these series, Orlando Magic, man, I think you were directionally correct, man. I think that was tough with Wagner.
Sure was. Sure was. Added to the pile of bets I thought were good that just don't quite get home. I mean, look, when you bet this stuff 55-1, 80-1, you kind of need everything to go right. And everything going right does not include your best player or second best player getting hurt. I thought, you know, up 3-1, I thought maybe they could hang on. And look, I was doing the show Friday night with Matt Humans on VSiN Primetime. They're up 24 in the second half, and it was interesting. It went from 24-10, starting to get nervous, bite the fingernails, and it went right up to 17. Just take a deep sigh of relief and like, all right, we're good. We're up 17. And then basically to just miss every shot known to man. And you knew in game seven, they weren't going to get off the bus, which they didn't. So tough one. I mean, they still would have had to beat Cleveland and been big underdogs, but I thought the way the East broke, there was a path for them to get to a conference finals, but that's, that's cost of doing business when you bet this stuff at long odds. You need everything to break your way. And that was certainly a tough one, up 3-1 and up 24 in game six there. Looking to move on.
I really felt, and I know it's not necessarily an opinion held by those who watch the full NBA season, but I really felt like they were as good as any team in the Eastern Conference. I really did.
They lost their best player. Yeah. There's no shame in what happened. They lost their best player to injury.
I don't know what you're screaming at, but yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah, no, it's just...
I agree completely. What about tonight's games, Willie? What do you like?
We'll start Knicks and Sixers. I mean, I know you're probably supposed to fade the Knicks here, and eventually they're going to have a game where they don't win by 40 points and basically look like the 96 Bulls every night. I don't really want to put my hand on the stove and fade the hot team. I'm just worried about, if I had to bet it, I guess I would take the points with Philly. I'm just worried about the every other day nature of this series for Philly, who did not get a breather between the Boston series and this series. And Embiid, every trip down the court, it just feels like, it takes a mini miracle that he's going to stay out there, whether he's grabbing his knee or his hip or he's winded. He just feels so crickety that I worry about him holding up. I would figure Philly plays better. Knicks don't shoot as well. So again, if I had to take it, I would take the points here. My initial thought of this series was Knicks in six plus 500, and you can still get that price. I don't see any reason to jump off, but if I were worried like it's going to go under or go over, that original prediction. I would worry that the Knicks win this one, split the two in Philly, then wrap it up in home. But I would still go Knicks in six here and figure you get a closer game tonight. But look, I was saying this on my podcast. I think the Knicks are going to the finals. I wouldn't have said this a week or two ago. Maybe it's prisoner of the moment, but the other series, those two teams don't really impress me. If they get the Cavs somehow here, they'll have home court. I do think they'll get by Philly. I thought they were going to get there last year. That crazy Halliburton shot and that crazy comeback derailed it, but I think the Knicks are going to the finals.
Would you have thought of all these recent Knicks teams that this would be the one, and not that they're there yet, but let's say they do, that this would be the one to get to the finals?
You know what? I think this is an easy, it's an easy answer for me and kind of a cop-out, though. It's yes. It is yes, but it's because of the lack of competition in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
More about that than this Knicks team.
What about the Spurs trying to get off the schneid here against the T-Wolves? Spurs, a 9.5-point favorite tonight. We're showing 10. It is 10 now, pretty much consensus. 10 reduced juice at home against the T-Wolves tonight, game two.
I like the Spurs. I've just seen this so many times where a team steals game one on the road and they just get buried in game two. They have that satisfaction of, all right, we got our split. All right, we got our game on the road. The team at home is desperate and usually better. I mean, that's why you're at home, because you're better. Does it feel like there's 9.5, 10-point difference between these two teams? But this is one where I just almost blindly bet it, where the team that loses game one comes out and they win game two and usually win it comfortably. Now, that being said, man, Minnesota, Finch is a great coach. That's a tough team. They're deep. They're going to make the Spurs work for it. And it's funny. It's frustrating because the first number I saw in the series was Spurs minus 2,000, laying 14 for game one. I said, man, that seems like a lot. That doesn't seem right. Yeah. Didn't bet it. Thought about it. And then by the time I got around to betting it, Edwards was questionable. Then he was in. So then I missed the numbers. So then I just kind of let it go. But I guess, look, when the road team wins game one, you're usually looking at nothing else, a longer series. I don't think the Spurs are just going to rip off four straight here and win in five. So you're talking about a 6, maybe 7-game series. If I had a redo right now, I'd probably say Spurs in 7 from a betting standpoint. Minnesota in 6 at plus 550 doesn't sound like the worst bet, but I won't jump off the Spurs, but I do think it's going to be a longer series here. So Spurs in 7 is the short shot. I think that's probably the correct short shot at this point.
We were talking about Lakers and Thunder, of course, early on the show, and basically the sort of upshot of that conversation is, hey, man, Lakers played as well as you could imagine they could play yesterday without Luka. Kept it close for 2.5 quarters. In the end, Shea didn't even play well. He only scored 18, and the Thunder still won by 18. What do you make of your Lakers?
I thought it was a sweep. I think it's a sweep. I guess the one positive, you say Reeves is going to shoot better at some point. It's funny. He's due for a contract extension. Kelly knows this. There's a lot of discourse of like how much he's going to get. And he's going to get a lot of money, $200, $250 million. And he's a good player. But, man, he's just got too many of these. I know he's working back from injury, but I just don't see how they can score consistently enough. OKC is going to win it in either 4 or 5. I like the 4 at minus 105. I think this is a sweep.
All right, let's go on record for you with Pistons Cavs. Pistons up 1 now after yesterday's 10-point win.
7-game series, I think. On one hand, I think like Detroit's got the best player in the series and they have home court, so that's usually enough to pick a team. I don't love this Pistons team. I thought just ultimately Cleveland has a better half-court offense with Mitchell and with Harden, but they haven't played great really since early in the Toronto series. I'll stick with Cleveland in 7. You get 6-1 on that. I like that price tag. I think it's a long series, kind of a coin flip, so I'll go Cleveland in 7. But again, best player is on Detroit, and Detroit has home court, so I think somebody wins in 7. I'll go with Cleveland. Don't feel good about it. I do think it's pretty much a coin flip.
And so am I hearing from you, Knicks, Thunder, NBA Finals? Is that what I'm getting?
Yeah, I think Thunder to beat the Knicks exact result is plus 250. I do not mind that wager whatsoever.
By the way, networks would love that matchup.
I also shout out to Will Hill before he leaves for dropping that Thunder Western Conference bet that I know I ended up betting along with him right at the beginning of the playoffs. That was a beautiful little number.
Hey, they still have a chance to win 74. I'm curious. Is that still?
No, oh, no. Come on. You're bringing up the Magic. You're bringing up that. I mean, anything else? You want to bring up 98 Vikings, man. Gary Anderson missing the kick against the Falcons. Anything else you want to stop me on with the way
can
out?
You Jeez. Believe Gary Anderson missed that kick? And then what was the one in the 2000s, the other kicker who missed that one? The 19
Blair Walsh. Yeah, I mean, go down.
Blair Walsh. Oh.
By the way, Matthew Mayberry, how about Mark Lemke, since we got Jeff Blauser reference in about the Braves back in the day? I like that one.
Yes.
As well. Thank you, Will. Appreciate it.
See you guys.
Will Hill, everybody, on the show. Coming back, more NBA. Todd Wishnev as well.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. It's kind of pouring now in Rome. I'm surprised.
Yeah, like, when do they stop this?
I'm surprised they're letting them play 1-1 in the third set. Munar and Arnaldi, as we're trying to go to 3-0 here on the day.
All right. Can I ask you questions about this? Because I'm kind of fascinated by it. Kelly's assuming here when it comes to tennis. Hard court, obviously. Grass court, easier to dry when there's rain, right? This becomes muddy as hell, right?
Well, yes. Hard true, by the way, is the best in terms of drying the quickest.
Okay.
The hybrid, it dries very quickly, like in Florida, if it's raining.
That's why they have them in Florida?
It's awesome. But yes, no, obviously it's much slicker on grass and hards than it is on clay in terms of being worried about injury.
No, that's where I wasn't going. Yeah. I guess time to get back on the court. Like, shouldn't they be quicker to delay on clay because they got to protect the surface?
100%.
More, right? Okay.
100%.
Yeah, I was kind of sitting here for like 20, 30 minutes. They've been playing through this.
And if it's just a sprinkle, they're not going to even consider it. But you got, I mean, it's hard to tell on TV just how hard it is raining, but we see umbrellas everywhere.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
The one thing you can almost always assume, if you see rain on TV, it is worse there than what you're seeing on TV. These cameras are incredible.
Yeah. Kelly has dubbed our guy, Jaume Munar, the orthodontist. That's his nickname for him.
It looks like a Groupon orthodontist.
Not even a good one.
Not even a good. Like, he might be good, but he's just starting a business, okay?
Chris Velika has chimed in on the show. He is squarely on my side when it comes to the notion of taking money for the loss of a body part, the willing loss of a body part. He thinks all of you are insane. And he's correct.
There was a bad word in that text message, too. I don't feel like I see Chris Velika text bad words very often, at least.
He's very angry.
He says them on the air occasionally, but...
Tweets at Beating the Book. No Emu Doug. Check out this video. Oh, yes. The $6 million man intro is the greatest intro in the history of television. I agree. Period. I will not debate this subject. Mentioned Matthew Mayberry was talking about the Superstation with the passing of Ted Turner. He says Mark Lemke was the name that came to his mind. He says that's how I became a Braves fan. Watched every game when I was a kid on TBS. Dan Groeschel, speaking as a Packers fan with diehard Vikings fans as in-laws, can you believe Favre threw that ball across the middle in OT? Unbelievable, but not really. That's another one. Just mess with Will on. Steve the Proxy, I went to see the Mets in Denver 3 years ago. Day one, it was 89 degrees. The next day, it snowed. The day after, it was 80 again. Denver weather is totally bipolar. Fun tip, they have a row of purple seats in the stadium at the actual mile-high level, elevation level. Look at that. I didn't know that.
Huh.
Very cool. K. James, loved the Braves back in the day. Remember the pinch-hitting extraordinaire Biff Pokoroba. Wow. I have a bunch of Biff Pokoroba baseball cards. And the numbers, guys. Further proof, being a kid in the 80s was way better than being a kid today. You could watch every single Braves and Cubs game for a mere basic cable subscription.
Yeah.
You could wake up at noon and watch Harry Carey and spend the night at your grandma's watching Skip Carey.
Yeah, three of us were talking about that last break. Yeah. I didn't want to ask it on air because I had to confirm with you two that that's what I remembered from my childhood, and it's exactly that. I forgot about WGN.
And as distinctive as Harry Carey's voice and demeanor was, Skip Carey had that really distinctive, odd voice, if you will. That was a staple of Braves broadcasts as well.
Can I give you a Cubs stat?
Sure.
This is from Optostats. I just saw the great Paulie Howard retweet this. Cubs over their last 20 games. 17 wins, 10 of those are comeback wins, 9 wins after allowing the first run, 6 one-run wins, 4 walk-off wins, 4 wins after trailing in the 8th inning or later, and 3 extra inning wins. It's incredible.
Did we flash up the May standings yet today? Reflecting the Cubs' prowess here. The Yankees, Rays, Royals, and Cubs, all 5-0 to start the month of May. The Yankees with a plus 32 run differential to lead the way.
Not many one-run games that they've had to deal with.
Yeah, and then you see the Braves and the Phillies. Phillies, hey, we're here. They're both 4-1. Our Mariners 1-4. You know what the Mariners run differential is with that 1-4? -5.
Mm.
Yeah, that's fun. Real fun. Is that right? -5? Do I have that correct? Yes, 3 one-run losses. 1-3. In one-run games. only 0-0 for teams so far in the month of May. Rockies are 0-4, and the Reds, remember the Reds? Remember that team? 0-5 in the month of May
so far. As far as you're concerned, they could lose every game for the rest of the season, right?
I don't even know who they are.
I don't even know those guys.
All right, so basketball tonight then.
Ooh, real quick, Jake Nappe withdrawal from Truist Championship this week. Had a wrist injury last week, was a WD over at the Cadillac, so that's a little concerning a week ahead of the PGA Championship.
Uh-oh. Killer Sports Challenge, because we flashed it up for, I believe, 2.5 seconds earlier, not anymore. So if I'm making a play, and right now this has been going swimmingly well for me, but I do see a Zach Cohen. I'm looking at that loss column. Zach is not far back.
Bro, 16-6.
16-6, bro. Man. Yeah, it's been a hell of a run. For me, it's Spurs or nothing tonight.
Played the Spurs. Don't think I'll be playing anything else.
And again, just
I don't know, man. Though I gotta. Talking to, I got we talked about yesterday. What's harder, the 2010 thing? Like, I got to start firing here at some point. I still haven't made a play yet.
Yeah, you got to get to it.
So Spurs already put in. I mean, Carl Sack, I can put in early and don't have to worry about anybody. You can copy away if you want. Go ahead,
copy at your leisure.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll just repeat the scenario again, and I alluded to it with Will, but earlier sort of spelled it out, which is this is the game, right? With the T Wolves having the game in hand, where if the Spurs were to get out to a big enough lead, there is this the sort of odd game script where the T-Wolves at some point just pull the players back, right? Let's not risk any injury. We certainly don't want Ant to be out there.
Especially Ant.
That's kind of the play. In addition to the fact that I just feel the Spurs will have a better performance.
And Nick's taking money here. This is out to 7.5, 8. It has hit 8 at a lot of places. This opened a lot of places, 6.5. So Knicks are taking money. Back to Spurs Timberwolves, though. Sorry, got distracted. You know what's just from the narrative standpoint, this I am beyond fascinated to watch this game tonight because of a young superstar that we very much believe in.
Yeah.
Right? Down 1-0 at home. How does Victor Wembanyama, Stephon Castle, Mitch Johnson, this young core of the coach players respond in this situation against a very well-coached Timberwolves team that has a very good defense, but, you know, is banged up? And this is a must-win.
Much more veteran.
Yes, much more veteran. Like, this is, it's an absolute must-win, and what you laid out, I think, is very much in the cards tonight, and what I expect from Victor Wembanyama is a massive bounce-back game here.
But who knows? Who knows?
Chris Finch is damn good, man. And yes, Rudy Gobert is damn good at what he does. This is a very good defensive team. Well, yeah. I thought it was really fascinating.
It's either Spurs or nothing, and when I say that, the nothing is a real possibility for me tonight. Like, I may just decide at the end just to sit out the day.
16-6, buddy. You're 16-6. Cruising, man. It's cruising.
What could go wrong?
Did want to add on a couple more. Okay, I there might be one more contest play for me that I don't think is going to be a bet. I talked about some of these trends heading into the series. Unders, man, for the Knicks and Sixers, just keep cash. I mean, it is 11 of the last 14. For the Sixers, and 10 of the last 15 for the Knicks. And then with these two meeting each other, 4 of their last 6 have gone under. And I think there is, appropriately, you are seeing some Knicks money. I'll bring this up every time because I think it's extremely impressive. Dominant at home, the Knicks have been this season. 34-11 straight up. They are 31-14 against the number at home. So it is really, really an advantage when the Knicks are playing at Madison Square Garden. We'll see if we get some shooting regression on their end, though. And just like San Antonio, where it's on the Stars to step up, Maxey and Embiid have to be better tonight.
Do you ever make Eastern Conference or Western Conference final MVP plays or finals MVP plays prior to that round?
Great question. Finals MVP. This is finals MVP I do. The others, I don't really, but I think...
In other words, prior to even knowing the teams.
Yeah, because I think you can find some fun bomb numbers with some teams.
Because those are out there. They're available.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Eastern Conference, we keep talking about all these teams being bad. If you're a real believer, you know, in the 76ers, we brought up them the other day.
What is the cat number for the Eastern Conference final? I'd be very curious.
I will pull that up right now. The one I was going to say, though, of why I don't really bet the conference finals MVPs is they are still like they're newer for the sports books to post these awards numbers. I just don't know. I mean, really, he's 13-1. I just don't really know how to Finals MVP, I kind of know how it's going to work, you know, throughout the course of the series, when the voting occurs. I don't really know that with the conference MVPs. I assume it works exactly the same way, but I'm not positive.
He's the best player on that team, man. I know people love Brunson, but Cat, I think, suffers from people don't like him as a, for whatever reason, they don't gravitate towards his personality.
Yeah. Well, that's easy.
His sort of whining on the court.
He's the best basketball player. Yes, I'm with you.
Yeah.
The I will say though, I'm already sick of it. I know there's a lot of people who are just tuned in to the NBA. They like to hate on some different things that I've gotten used to. The Embiid cat flailing. This is the all-time flailing series. Like, oh, I got bumped.
Well, that's what Russillo was talking about, and they've called him. They've given those fouls to him. I'm not sure if that continues.
Both of them do.